The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions.
Okay, so we're in the middle of the Kosos, but I actually wanted to go back really quickly to just give an idea about Haseva, which is my favorite thing that I've seen written about Haseva is the Rav. I saw this quoted in where is this? I mean, I'm quoting this from my, what do you call? I don't know where this is from, but anyway, some maybe festivals of freedom. He says, the slave lives in fear. He is afraid not only of those who are stronger than he or of those who have jurisdiction over him. The slave is afraid of contradicting anyone, of antagonizing even a stranger. This is the reason, in my opinion, why the sages introduced Haseva, reclining. Haseva symbolizes the throwing off of the mental shackles, depriving man of freedom of movement. Haseva is the reverse of erect posture, which demonstrates obedience and submissiveness. Soldiers standing erect symbolize the readiness to obey. Haseva is indicative of disobedience, of a courageous stand, of refusing to take orders, of rejecting the authority of man. Haseva means defiance. This is why Chazal said that if one's teacher is present, the student is relieved, indeed enjoined from Haseva. So to me, that's a different spin on Haseva than usually, because I think we usually think of Haseva as like luxuriating, but he's bringing out the idea of Haseva as like as independence and defiance, which to me is more like harmonious with the halachos about who is and is not obligated in Haseva. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 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 Right. Right. If she's Chashuva, then she can do Haseva. Right. And the default is that she's submissive or subordinate.
So
yeah.
If she was like, I don't know how you define it, Chashuva here, but if she wasn't like, if she was like self-supporting,
It looks like he says here, he quotes Shabbos Yud Test Yud. Let's look at that. Shabbos. Let's just open up a new one. Shabbos Yud Test Yud. No, I would not have gone there. What is the context even? Test Yud. Okay, here we go. Yotza'a isha b'chutin shebetzavara. She can go out with the threads around her neck. Is that like a necklace? Mipnei she'ina chonekes atma ben. Because she doesn't choke herself with them. Okay, good. I should hope not. Ina chotetzin. Then therefore they don't, they're not chotetz. V'im hayut sivuin, if they're dyed, asurin, then they're asur. Shema tire osan l'chabro seha. Maybe she'll show them to her fellow. So I guess it's talking about like chotah, right? Yeah. Viyotza isha b'kalil shel zahav b'roshah. She can wear, I think a kalil is a crown.
Right
on her head. She'ein yotza bo ela isha chashuva. Okay, because the only one who goes out on is isha chashuva. She'ein darcha lachlot laharos, whose way is not to take them off to show it. Viyotza b'tzitz, it's a headband. Uva l'chaim. L'chaim shel zahav. No, l'chaim I think is like a Yeah, I think it's related to Lehi, right? Like a, all right, let's see if this, I don't know whose English translation this is here. Diadem, okay, that's a crown. And a woman, it was a frontlet, tzitz. Oh, they call the tzitzis rosh frontlets. They call the English word for peos is frontlets, I think.
What?
Yeah, yeah, I think I've heard that, yeah. On her forehead with bangles of gold that hang from the frontlet. Okay, bangles.
It's not like those, like,
Liliana's veil. Hold on. Liliana's veil. Chain veil, I think. Oh, no, that's hanging down. Never mind. Never mind. But I think hanging down over her like headband would be.
I have that like image of like the thing that has like the eyes of like the nose thing. Uh-huh. Like, kind of like the masquerade kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, it could be. I mean, that's why I associated it to that.
Wait, but just not with the.
Yeah, right, thing. Right, yeah. Okay. Batitu v'chaim shalzav b'zman shehi shein tefurin b'savcha she'al rosha, when they are sewn into her head covering so that they don't fall. Kidei shelo tipol v'chaim. Okay, so did this really help us? They said b'mamar chevra. Oh, okay, so he's summarizing, he's not quoting. See, this is why you should always look up the Makbili, because like he often does quote, but this is a summary. I'll call you in a second. Shehi b'mamar chevrasi b'chir v'darcha b'kach. In a social standing, she's chashuva, and like she's prominent, and her way is like that. Yeah.
And this was, see, I was clarifying it a lot. was that, what's the type of woman who doesn't, because Isha Hashir is such a woman bother showing off, is an actually rich person who's like has a history of wealth, so is confident in their wealth.
Right, right. So, you don't need to like show it to people. Yeah.
It's like a middle class or poor people become rich.
Right.
They feel the need to show off their wealth. She's like, yeah. Hashuva, she knows she's rich. She doesn't need to show off.
Yeah, that is interesting. By the way, this question I think does pertain to the one I asked yesterday. I wondered out loud, when did they institute Arbokozos and Haseva? So I asked people online and I got a bunch of theories as to when they instituted Arbokozos, but no one yet has said anything for when they instituted Haseva. But my guess is that there are halachic nafkaminas for what the norm was back then, because I know that there's like the shitos who hold, the Rambam holds that women don't need Haseva now. And I think, and the reason, did he say, no, he didn't say why, right? The people who say Isha Indar, that's not the derech of women to recline. So, I feel like that is a statement about like, what is the norm?
Wait, the Rambam says that?
No, the Rambam doesn't say that. I think other Rishonim say that.
No, I think the Rambam says that.
Rashbam? On Sakhim? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Yosef?
Also, you're saying now, you mean there now, or we're talking about our now?
There now. Okay. I think there now might indicate what the way that they set up the Takana based on those norms might have a bearing on our now.
Yeah. Okay, just first thing, because it's maybe the Rishonic now, it could be that then.
Yeah, right. Okay.
But I don't think he's going to deny
the no, right. And the Chashuva would definitely go based on the, what do you call, the present Chashuvas, I think, not based on who was Chashuv back then. Yeah. I want to say an answer to that, but I haven't reviewed Haseva this year, so I don't want to say it. Yeah, okay. All right, so then that was one point I wanted to go back to. Another point I wanted to go back to was something that came up in I was going over the Manishtana, do you know, don't say it, but do you know Rebbe's theory about Manishtana from the Inyan de Seder tapes? Okay. All right. So let's just really quickly review the Manishtana, at least the Ashkenazic Manishtana, not the Rambam's. Can I not make this bigger? Okay, fine. So he says, So the question is like, what are these Manishtanas? Also, these are clearly not the Manishtanas that the kid is naturally asking, because we haven't done most of these things. Yeah, we did the dipping, but yeah. We didn't do the state dipping. We did the one dipping. But then also the question is, there are a couple important things missing from here, seemingly.
Matzah. Oh, sorry.
Matzah is there.
Pesach.
So Pesach we do is missing on ours. But yeah, so the Arbokozos,
yeah.
Right? And then there's one more, at least, arguably, that's missing. Maror's there. Sipur is also missing. Okay, Sipur is also missing. Okay, and then I guess three things. Right, and then Hala.
Oh, okay.
Okay, right. Yeah, Hala's a big one. Okay, so Rebbe's answer is, and this is Rebbe's theory for the entire. You got to listen to the United Seder tapes. I mean, that's like basic listening where he basically gives a halachic definition of everything in the Seder. I will try to remember to do that. So, you know, the big question on the Haggadah is like pretty much everything up until Mitchila Ovdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Avoseinu is not telling the story. It just like feels like a hodgepodge mix of things, you know, and especially like, you know, B'nai Brak and all this other stuff. So Rebbe's theory is that since the Haggadah was intended to be like an aid to, not a Hebrew word aid, but like English word aid, to like, you know, doing the mitzvos, he calls the first part of the Haggadah a shulchan, or like a kitzur shulchan aruch of halacha. So he holds that each of the things is going over a halachic, it's like conveying a halacha of the laila. And I'm not going to spoil it, but Manishtana he holds is outlining what the mitzvos halayla are, okay? Kind of like, and this is my addition, kind of like the koseris in the Mishneh Torah has a list of the mitzvos. So this is a list of the mitzvos. So here, so two of these are easy, which is, I lost it. Yeah, matzah is the first one. Maror is the second one. And then Pesach would be the other one. But then the dipping is a, so that's a reference to the karpas and also the charoses, I guess, if you hold by the Rambam. So that's sipur al yidei dibur. That is telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim through speech, because the whole reason why we do the karpas is to get the kid to ask, which is v'higar de la bincha. And then the heseva is sipur al yidei maisa, is demonstration of, is telling the story through the demonstration. So really, sipur and halal are included under the question about the dipping, because that's all a part of the mitzvah sipur de'oraisa. And then the arba kosos is included under the heseva, because that's a demonstration. So I don't remember if he said that point, but I was just, when I was going over it with one of my tutoring students yesterday, then they were asking why it doesn't mention arba kosos and stuff. And I think that's a good answer. So yeah. Okay. Now onward in the halachos. So we were in the middle of the kosos. Kol kos v'kos me arba kosos ha'elu. Each and every one of these kosos. Actually, I'm going to use the makbili. Tzarech limz. Yeah, we didn't. No, sorry. Yeah, we're at tes, I think. Yeah, we didn't do tes. Arba kosos ha'elu. Tzarech limz ozan. You need to mix them. Kedei shetiyeh shasiya areva. So that it is a pleasant drinking. Okay. So again, the way that the wine worked was that it was undiluted and.
Is there anyone else?
I think he says it by Kiddush. I don't. Let's just. Oh, sorry. I don't know if he. Oh, does he say it by Kosher Bracha?
It could be, because I know that the Gemara there has a big machloket about. Also, like when you've officially started Birkat HaMazon. There's like a bunch of Muslim curses. One of the.
Lim Zog. Hold on. Just said it in the Yad Pshuta. That's just quoting the Gemara. So he doesn't say it. I don't think he says it here.
Huh.
I don't know, but and then you said in the Kosher Bracha in when is it? That's gonna be Gimel? No, that is what you make a motzi on. Bays, Cedar Brings Mazon, Kos. I got some busha here. I don't really know my way around the Birkas Mazon prakim as much. Lekach kosher shechar biyadav hischob. No, that's okay. Yeah, I don't know. I have to look for it. Okay. So then, hakol lefi hayayin ulefi das hashosa. So all according to the wine and the das hashosa. So this is actually a practical halacha, because even though we don't do mezigas hakos, it does have to be a tasty wine. So I do know people who will like choke down like nasty wine, you know, for the arba kosos, and like you're probably yotze, but it's not l'chachila. Like you should have like good tasting wine, you know. The trick to me is to find wine, like, you know, when I drink wine, I like savor it, but you are chugging it, and so you have to have good chugging wine, which means that smoothness is going to be the key, I think. Yeah.
You know what that compares to, the say my personal preferences versus a quote unquote objective system.
Well, this is subjective preferences, right? Right, so it should be your subjective.
So it's like even grape juice, which I prefer, but I think most people.
So I'm gonna have to verify this. I believe in one of the three Rav books, it says something about the Rav holding about grape juice for that reason, but I have to check it and make sure that that's actually what he says. Yeah. Below yifkos me arba'atam yirvis yayin chai. You should not have less than a revis of raw wine from the four of them. So what is that? Yirvis yayin chai. Kedei shekol kos tachil revis yayin tahor. There should be in each cup a revis of yayin tahor, which is 75 cubic centimeters, which I don't know how much that is. I don't really know my centimeter. Sha'alav yahol hosif mayim, which you can add to ad pi shalosh mikamos yayin, up until a third of the quantity of the wine. So I also tried asking, I haven't gotten answers yet. I said, you know, I don't know anything about winemaking for modern wines, and I've tried learning these sogyas before and talking about that, and it's confusing. Does anyone have data on how much of our wine is diluted. And like, if you Google stuff, you just get like not helpful stuff. Like, for example,
Is it diluted or just like a different process?
So that's what I don't even know. So for example, no, that's not the thing. Oh, wait, this is the thing. How much percent of your wine is water? Approximately 85%. But I have no idea what that means. That could just mean like, it could be even talking about what we call yayin chai, that's what, you know. So I just have no idea how to make sense of whatever the data there is. So I'm sure someone's written an academic paper on like modern winemaking versus Glazal's winemaking and like, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah.
I'm going to ask the same question again. When I'm saying how much I'm not yayin chai,
I think I've only seen it here, but again, I'm not holding on. I can probably look it up easily though, really quickly. We're just searching for Revis in chapter 29, which is Kiddush and Shabbos. Revis. So this is what you do for Kiddush, right? So you take a cup that holds Revis or more, wipe it inside and rinse it on the outside, and fill it with wine, hold it in your right hand, hold it up, it's funny, from the karka, not from the table. That's interesting. Don't assist it with your left hand. Does not look like he says that there. Yeah, and it might be because of the cherus. I'm not sure. Because he says, Shasa arba kosos elu miyayin she'inu mazug, if you drink the four kosos from wine that's not mixed, yatsi de arba kosos lu yatsi de cherus. Right, so the proportions of the wine are for the cheres quality, not for the cup's quantity. Shas arba kosos mezugin bevas achas. If you drank the four cups that were mixed, but you drank them at one time, which this is a whole another machlokas we've shown him, but the Makbili says shiyatzak esayayin shibahen lakos achad. You pour them all into one big cup. I think others hold that bevas achas means you drink them one after the other. Then yasi de cherus v'lo yasi de arbakosos. Okay, v'im shasa mikol kos mehen rubo yata. And if in the normal case you drink the rove of each kos, then you're yotze b'diavad. Let's just finish reading this, and we can come back tomorrow. Kol kos v'kos me arbakosos elu mevarach alav bracha b'fnei atzmo. Each and every one of these four kosos, according to the Rambam, you make a bracha on it by itself. This is a machlokas in Pesach between Sfarim and Ashkenazim. Because some hold you only make it on the first and the third kos. The Rambam says on each one, v'kos rishon omer alav kiddush hayom, you say kiddush on, kos sheni kore alav es ha-haggadah, you read the haggadah over, kos shlishi mevarach alav birkas ha-mazon, third one you make birkas ha-mazon over, kos rvi gomer alav es ha-halal, you make you complete halal over it, umevarach alav birkas ha-shir, and you make birkas ha-shir, which is from Nishmas plus Yehalalucha, and concludes with in the Ramams, Hakel HaMelchem Hulo, et cetera, Lelum Ved, which is not how we conclude, I don't think. And then, Uvena Kosos Aelu, Imratz Lishtos, Shose, if you want to drink between the two cups, you can. Bein Shlish Lervi, Eno Shose, but not between the third and the fourth, and there's different reasons for that. And then there's Ram also has a fifth cup, but that he mentions in Perichas, so we'll have to save that for later. Okay, good. So goal, I think, is I'll see if there are any like wrap up points from that part. But tomorrow, I think we can get through these last three, and that way we can be on the eighth parak by next week.
Cool.
Very good. Okay. I'm leaving Thursday. God willing.
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeWeiss. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweiss Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweiss, and my Zelle/Chase QuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at RabbiSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading, and thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.